the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
It's your boy Doomsday 519, and this is Rant and Wrestling, episode 213. And of course, with me is the man hailing from the West Side Goth.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. How was your Memorial Day weekend?
I don't think that helped me do Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I think I slept, woke up. Oh! Or read, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't do shit. I saw Solo. Thought that movie was interesting. And of course, played some video games, and lastly, but most importantly, watched them wrestling. The Beyond Show and the Women's Wrestling Revolution show that was on Powerbomb TV. So, that was shit. Those are good shows, so if you get the chance, check those out.
I don't think I watched any real wrestling this weekend. Well, actually, I think I caught one CMLL opener as someone on the CMLL thing, just so I could see that that Audaz guy that all the Lucha dudes are really liking in a six-man tag match. The guy does a lot of crazy fake dives. He was all over the place, but very impressive. And Kawada was in that match. You know, the New Japan dude who's on Excursion. So was Drone, the CMLL dude who got, like, super hungover or high during his Fantastica Mania. Yeah. But, you know, it was pretty good. Puma King was in the match. So it was all right. I didn't watch the whole show, but L.A. Park, a.k.a. OG La Parka, is in CMLL right now, feuding with Rush. So that's interesting.
Okay. Cool stuff.
That's all I remember.
Yeah.
I think I'll go see Solo this weekend, though. And I'm currently finishing up my 31 days of films. I got two more movies to go.
What was the last one you saw?
I watched the sci-fi classics, The Day the Earth Stood Still yesterday, and the day before that, The Time Machine, based on the H.G. Wells book.
Oh, okay.
Between the two, I definitely recommend The Day the Earth Stood Still. It's like 90 minutes, 100 minutes. The guy who directed it did like The Sound of Music and fucking West Side Story, which I was surprised with.
Huh.
But it was actually a well-acted film. Though, you know, sometimes old movies are hard to watch. Like, I couldn't really get into The Time Machine. And the costuming for those Morlock guys were horrible. But, you know, old films, right?
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah, so I mean, I'll go do some lists maybe next weekend, but I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm going to watch the movie Tragedy Girls that has a Storm and Negasonic Teenage Warhead in it. It's like a horror film or something. I wanted to see it last year, but it didn't come out, you know, wide release or whatever. All right, so we ready to talk some wrestling.
Wrestling.
Best of the Super Juniors is still going on. Catch you up. What date is this? The night six. I don't think I might have not have talked about it, but Marty Scurll defeated Chris Sabin. Was a pretty good match. Ryusuke Taguchi defeated Kushida. Oh shit! Oh man, this match. Like, because they've been doing it as VOD, I have to watch each match separately, right? So it came on and I wasn't paying attention to the length of the match, so it was going, and within like 3 minutes, Taguchi caught him in a fucking small package and won the match. Like, Kushida was going for that rolling, diving DDT thing he does now. Taguchi jumped up and caught him. I'm like, holy shit! And especially because, like, I think a few days before, I was reading some stuff about some of Taguchi's best, you know, promo lines. And there was something about the best of Super Juniors. Like, my strategy is to win a few matches, lose to Kushida, and lose all my other matches. But yeah, Taguchi beat Kushida. This was a... I was very shocked. I liked it. Joe defeated El Desperado. I've been liking Sho during this. He's been like a powerhouse with his B Bly Jr. division. And then in the main event was longtime rivals Dragon Lee and Hiromu Takahashi, who tried to fucking kill each other. Which is, you know, what they do, is they try to fucking kill each other. Dragon Lee had to pull out his super finisher, because Dragon Lee has three finishers. He has the Cradle Orange Crush Powerbomb. That's the one where he picks him up in the cradle, and then does the suplex through the powerbomb. The Tree of Woe Double Stomp Dodge. But his super finisher is a move you don't really see too often. Kota Ibushi sometimes uses it. It's like they go for that powerbomb, but when they're on top of their shoulders, they hook the back of their necks and then fall backwards into a pin, dropping the guy straight on their neck. I don't know what the official name for it is. I think it might be called the Phoenix Plex. It's a very sick-looking move, and... Yep. Oh, it's called the Dragon... He calls it the Dragon Driver. But, yeah, it was a match I would say go out of your way to see, even though it's hard cam, so it's kind of annoying. But that was, that was fun. What else do we have? Next night, Block A came back into force. Ooh. Oh, this thing jumped. You. Well, no, okay, here we go. So, we had Flip Gordon defeated Tiger Mask. I think I said this on Twitter. I'm not a fan of Gordon. I don't... Like, he does a lot of cool flips, but he doesn't... It doesn't, like, have anything else to offer.
Yeah.
He's like... Yeah. I mean, it's like, man, that's a cool flip. How's your ground game? Or where's your personality? I mean, I guess he shows a little bit of charisma, but... I don't know. He needs to work on his other parts of his wrestling. The match was alright. We had ACH defeating Yo. That was a good match. We had Yoshinobu Kanemaru with a surprise victory over Taiji Ishimori. Pretty good. And Bushi came out and actually defeated Will Ospreay to finally score some points on the block, because he had lost He had lost his first three matches. So Bushi scored a victory over the champion. And I thought it was an okay match. I like Bushi, but he's not, like, one of my favorite dudes. I think he has a lot of style and charisma, but his matches sometimes are just lacking. I like him more as a tag wrestler than anything else. And I still think he's probably the best-dressed wrestler. I mean, he comes out in cool suits sometimes. He's got great masks. He's got great matching outfits. And, you know, like, a lot of the guys in Japan, they might have one or two outfits, but Bushi's got, like, closet wardrobe full of outfits, so got a great stylist. Alright, 27th, we had Block B, Marty Girl defeated El Desperado. Don't quite remember the match, but actually it was pretty good. Chris Sabin defeated Dragon Lee, which was a surprise. This was actually really, really good. The funny thing is, Chris Sabin's worst match of the tournament so far was his match with Kushida. I don't know what it is, but every match after has been much better for Sabin. His show match was one of my favorites. This match with Dragon Lee was really good. This match with Skrull was good. But yeah, Kushida defeated Sho. That was a really good match too. And Hiromu Takahashi defeated Ryusuke. Great match. And I always talk about Taguchi being one of the underrated technical wrestlers. Taguchi is definitely one of the underrated high flyers. This motherfucker does... When he goes out, he does a whole load of dives. He's like, what, in his 30s? He's out of... He looks out of shape. This motherfucker's still doing springboard drop kicks when he needs to. So, good on him. Taguchi's always delivers. The last show that was up, because there's going to be the shows today. This is Wednesday. Are going to be uploaded later tonight. And then this is going to be up on Thursday. Those shows will be up later tonight, whatever. So there's still two shows missing. But the show that was actually released, we had Taiji Ishimori defeating Tiger Mask. We had Bushi defeating ACH. We had, what else? We had Yo defeated Flip Gordon. I was really happy. Seems like Yo's finisher is his special prawn hole thing. And then, the main event was Will Ospreay versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru. I have to say this, I've been dreading every Kanemaru match, but when I actually watch him, he's actually been really good. Like, I didn't like him last year in the tournament. I don't really even like him as a in a tag wrestling capacity. But pretty much every match on A Block with him has surprised me, because I keep thinking, well, maybe it's the other guy, right? But yeah, Kanemaru came through. And those are your and those are the BOSJ shows we know have actually happened. Like I said, the shows for Wednesday and Thursday will be up later that night. Catch them on VOD. And let us tie up the BOSJ, because they're ending by Monday. So you ready for these cards?
Oh yeah, let's get it.
Alright, first up, on the 31st, which is Thursday, the show that I said will be up that night. So you can listen to our show and then watch that. We got Flip Gordon versus Bushi, ACH versus Tajimori, Tiger Mask versus Will Ospreay, and Yo versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru. This will be interesting if Yo and Kanemaru is the main event of this show, because Will Ospreay has been headlining each of the A-Block shows thus far. So I don't know if this is maybe an anniversary for Run the Wrestlers, or they're going to let Yo hit this move he's been teasing as the finish. I don't know, but yeah, that is the show on the 31st. Any thoughts on that one?
Nope, I don't got any thoughts on that shit.
Alright, well, then we skip a day and we come back on the 2nd for B Block. Let's see what we got. Alrighty, we have Chris Sabin versus El Desperado, Ryusuke Taguchi versus Marty Scurll, Sho versus Hiromu Takahashi, and this one looks the main event as Kushida versus Dragon Lee. This actually sounds like a pretty good show. Sabin's a technical guy. El Desperado's a technical guy. Hiroshi Tanahashi actually mentioned his interest in Taguchi versus Skrull before the tournament started, saying it'd be very interesting to see how this match turns out. Because they're both technical guys, but they both can lean into comedy.
Yeah.
So Taguchi versus Skrull could be really funny. Sho and Dragon Lee already had a monster of a match, so it's going to be interesting to see if Sho and Hiromu Takahashi bring that kind of anger or power or just killer moves. And Kushida versus Dragon Lee, I don't think these guys have had a one-on-one match. So that show actually sounds really good. Any thoughts?
Not really, no.
Yeah. All right, next up, we have the 3rd. This is actually the last of all the block, because they do block A and B's last shows in the same night. So, here we go. We got Tiger Mask versus ACH. We got Flip Gordon versus Will Ospreay in the second match, supposedly the second match on the show. This match, I wonder if Will Ospreay is going to be like, Flip Gordon does too many flips and just tries to ground him. Because between the two, Will Ospreay had that wrestling background, so, you know, they have a very technical acumen. So that'll be interesting to see that, or if it's going to be like the Ricochet Ospreay matches where they try to outflip each other. Yeah, I hope not. Leave that for Will Ospreay and Ricochet, right? We have Yo versus Taiji Ishimori, Bushi versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru, a match I keep thinking already happened in the tournament, but has not. And then Lee Block's matches, Kushida versus Hiromu Takahashi, is listed as a match in the middle of the card. So we'll see about that. Ryusuke Taguchi versus Chris Sabin, Dragon Lee versus Desperado, and it says here that Sho versus Marty Scurll will be the main event. So I don't know if this is a fake out and it's not going to be the main event, or Sho or Marty Scurll are going to the next finals. Who knows? That is the last night before the finals. Any thoughts?
Nope.
All right. And then after that is the Monday show. Nothing's listed because it's going to be the block finals, or the finals and title, block A, block B, and then whatever other matches they have. So that is the best of the Super Juniors finishing up this weekend. All right. I had to get a drink of soda. Let's see. We got a few shows this weekend. Nothing much. We have American Combat Wrestling, which will be live on WWN Live Network.
Where is that listeners. One anyway?
It is in Florida.
Another Florida one? Oh. Don't they have Full Impact?
They have Full Impact. They have Sean. They have several other ones. Florida is a is actually one of the low-key wrestling states, because they have a lot of wrestlers come out of Florida, and they have a lot of wrestling companies. They just don't have too many major wrestling, indie wrestling names, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, it's to in Florida, they can always work as a jobber for NXT or something.
Yeah.
So it's actually a really good state if you want to be a professional wrestler. But yeah, it's at Fifth Avenue Jewelry and Bond in Port Richley, Florida. So here's who we have listed. I'll go through. Somebody named Troy Hollywood, Sir Gabriel Lacey, Sideshow, Marcus Espada, Jason Falcone, Jake Jones, Irish Jack, Damian Angel, the ACW Tag Team Champions of Omar Amir and Chance Champion, Cruiserweight Champion Snoop Strikes, Combat Champion Saeed El Sabah, and the Heavyweight Champion Mitch Mitchell. Wow. So nobody on here do I know. So yeah, that is the one WWN show. There is no Powerbomb TV shows, but we do have probably the biggest show happening on the indie scene, I'm assuming, because I keep, you know, I always miss shows, but this one's happening, is the GCW's Danzig Presents Tournament of Survival 3. Of course, the way I can't really read all this is on the Twitter, but tournament will have, of course, Nick Gage is in there. He will be in his first round match, be taking on Big Japan Wrestling's Takayuki Ueki, who I think I've seen wrestle, but I can't remember. I think he's the guy who plays the police or comes with a fake gun.
Oh,
so, yeah.
that guy.
I think that's the guy. You've seen the GIFs then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, we also have Mexican hardcore wrestler, deathmatch wrestler, Cyclope. He will be taking on Alex Colon in the first round match.
Cyclope.
Alright, let's see what else I can find on here. Oh, by the way, there, if you actually are going, they will be having some stuff and food, I think. There's a list of some of the menu for some of the stuff. So if you're there, you can get some Rice Krispie treats. Huh. Some various types of Rice Krispies.
Is it laced with drugs?
Well, it doesn't say drugs. There's a plain, there's a pistachio one, there's a cocoa pebbles mix, chocolate and graham crackers mix, a cherry vanilla ice.
I think it's because the drugs are a given, so they don't need that advertising.
Okay, so this is for people who, you know, so if you don't want to take drugs but you still want to partake in food. They also have cupcakes and sandwiches. I think they might even be having some roasted pig up in there, too. So, you know, get your pig going.
Oh, shit. They got a pig roast?
Yeah. Other guys in the tournament. Eric Ryan. Maybe not a Nazi, as I will be calling him right now. Mato Extremo. What? Marcus Crane. Oh, may not be a Nazi.
May not all be
right.
A Nazi.
No. Yeah. Yeah, a fucking pig roast. Saturday, June 2nd. Barbecue and pig roasted, provided by Little Saint Picnic.
Huh.
I mean, you know, if you like watching wrestlers almost die, you might enjoy this. And you might be able to get, you know, some food. That was actually the only thing that interested me about this tournament, to be honest with you. Like, fuck Survival of Death. Oh, they have food? Shit, if I was in town, I would have went.
Yeah.
I'd love to eat food and watch wrestlers almost die. That sounds awesome. Let's see if there's any other pieces of this. No, I guess this is probably just a small tournament, probably because, you know, it's not Tournament of Death. You know, which is another Zandig presented wrestling nonsense. But, you know, CZW sort of dropped off badly. So much they keep getting clowned by, you know, GCW dudes.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any CZW. No. Alright, so the next CZW show is at the end of June from the looks of it. And CZW's Tournament of Death, I think, happens in June as well. Huh. So, you know, wait a couple of weeks and you might get yourself a deathmatch tournament. Yeah! Okay! Wow, GCW. No. Tournament of Death happens the next weekend. Okay. GCW's fucking... All right.
they're trying to go out of their way to destroy CZW at this point.
And then take their entire roster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because some of those guys work for both companies. Yeah. Alright, so, yeah, I guess that's it for wrestling. I feel like trying to figure out how to do it. I think there's a company called Compound Wrestling in Oklahoma that, that's having their shows. Apparently, Oklahoma, it's a family-friendly company. The only reason I know about it is because I think Colt Cabana had to cancel his appearance. Because he has to be in court!
Yeah.
So, yeah. For the trial. So, yeah. Okay. So, look up Compound Wrestling if you're in Oklahoma.
Yes. Okay. So, I guess that's my turn. Raw, I did not really watch that shit. I know Sasha Banks advanced to the Money in the Bank, so you could bank
to lose.
Banks. Yeah, to lose. Her Finn Balor got beat up. Sami Zayn got beat, like hurt by Bashley. Some other things. Fucking Chad Gable got beat up by Drew McIntyre. Basically, a lot of people getting beat up. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah. What was weird, fuck though, it. Is I earlier today I was flipping through Instagram. I saw a picture of Alexa Bliss, and I had that same exact Disney villain shirt she was wearing. I was like, when I bought it, I actually bought it in the men's section, but I remember looking at it like, I'm surprised it's in the men's section. Because they had like Cruella de Vil, Maleficent, Ursula, and the Evil Queen. But I was like, you know, fuck it. Men don't get that many good Disney shirts. I'm gonna buy this shit, yeah. But I saw it. I'm like, damn.
Speaking of shirts,
Disney shirts is Alexa Bliss.
Speaking of shirts, WWE's has like the worst track record when it comes to shirts. A lot of the designs are fucking trash. Yeah, damn.
Yeah, I saw the Ember Moon one and the Jeff Hardy one, and it was like,
yeah, those last two.
What the fuck are you doing?
They have one for Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt that seems kind of interesting, actually. Like, they have them in some type of weird yin-yang symbol. Their heads in a yin-yang symbol, so it's actually kind of interesting. I might rock that one.
Someone actually had a design idea. Did they fire all their designers?
I don't know.
And I know some of those indie guys design their own shirts. So maybe they should hire them to design other people's shirts.
The indie guys either design their own shirt or commission from like other random folks on the internet.
Yeah.
Like Redneck Kung Fu. Yeah, a lot of those folks end up going to her for shit. I think who'd she make shirts? She made shirts for Joey Janela. Joey Ryan, and a whole bunch of other dudes. Yeah,
I haven't seen too many coming out of PRBM and Tapla, but you know sometimes they design stuff for people.
Oh yeah, because PRBM he did that one for the
she. No,
oh she. Oh okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have to keep reminding you too. I think we had this conversation before.
That's probably a while ago.
Yeah. But yeah, because she did a few for Trent and stuff like that. Oh, okay. And I think she did one of the Adam Cole Bullet Club ones, if I remember right. Some of the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I always liked that topless shirt when she took advantage of the, when Haruma was calling Ospreay a cat and she drew him as a cat.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Okay. And then he sold that shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, going to SmackDown, nothing happened. they had a dance battle with Lana and Naomi that was okay. She ended
it. I saw a clip of it. It was really fun, but being that I actually believe I saw House Party in the theaters when it came out, I was more than amused. Actually, I'm pretty fucking sure I did see House Party in the movie theaters when it came out. God, I'm old.
Yeah, you're old.
I was probably like 5 or 6 then. I don't know why my parents took me to see that movie.
Oh man, I think the first movie I saw was fucking. It was either Rugrats, the first Rugrats movie, or James and the Giant Peach. James and the Giant Peach is actually underrated.
Yeah, I saw both. I think I saw both of those in theaters too. I don't know what the first movie I saw in theaters is. I know I saw a lot of several of these classics in theaters. Yeah. Like I saw Masters of the Universe, Beetlejuice.
Yeah. See, I saw. See, that's the thing because I didn't see. I didn't see that many movies as a kid. Like. It hasn't been until the past, like, I want to say 8 years that I've actually gone to the movies regularly. But from maybe 2009 and back, I've been, like, either getting bootlegs or watching illegal shit on the internet. So, like, I can only remember a handful of times that I actually went to the movie as a kid. And then, besides those movies... Another movie that I saw in theaters was fucking Nutty Professor The Clumps.
I saw the first Nutty Professor in theaters. I didn't see The Clumps at all.
I saw The Clumps in theaters, man.
Wow.
I think the reason that we ended up going to see it was because of fucking Janet Jackson was in it.
Actually, now that I think about it, I think I might have seen The Clumps in theaters too. I'm trying to remember which one I saw in theaters. I might have saw both of them. See, since when I moved over to where I live now, which is basically like a 10-minute walk from the movie theaters, I've gone to see much, much more movies too. Yeah. Back in the day, I'd be like, I want to really see this movie. I need to see this movie. And then one of my family would be like, fine, I'll take you. So, but, I mean, it was awesome to see movies when you were a kid, though, especially if they ended up being classics. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, yeah, I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit when it came out. Or I saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when it came out. Or I guess I could say I also saw the Titanic when it came out, but that's like, Titanic.
Yeah. Well, going back to SmackDown, I don't even remember what else happened besides the... I think that there was a six-man tag between the New Day and Miz and The Bar was actually pretty decent. With
you mean Red Naruto and The Bar?
What?
Naruto and The Bar?
Naruto?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Really doing those martial arts moves.
He's just like a fucking Victorian Naruto character.
Yeah, I saw the gif of him hitting the pancakes away, martial arts style. Like he's really leaning into this.
Oh yeah. I think somebody said there was some footage of some kid who ripped a pancake out of another kid's mouth.
Wow,
really weird. Like mouth to mouth, like pancakeage and shit, little kid stuff. I don't know. That shit was weird. Anyway, so yeah, the New Day ended up winning that one, and of course there was the triple threat between. Samoa Joe, Big Cass, and Daniel Bryan, which ended up in Samoa Joe advancing and qualifying for the Money in the Bank match. So, yeah, Daniel Bryan is asked out once again.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want him to do the ladder match on principle, but I feel bad for everybody who wanted to see him and Joe go, because him and Joe had good matches. I remember Lance was really fucking pissed. He said, I got home early just to turn in to watch this. They put Big Cass in this?
Yeah, they fucked us. they fucked us.
Yeah, that was a jerk move.
Yeah, that was a bitch move. That was a straight up bitch move.
This is kind of why I don't... these are the kind of reasons that make me glad that I don't watch weekly WWE and I just watch the pay-per-views.
Yeah, but speaking of weekly WWE, didn't pay attention to the tag match in 205 Live much. I believe Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick ended up winning that one. But of course, the match that everybody was clamoring for happened to be Cedric Alexander, who was the champion, versus Buddy Murphy for the Cruiserweight Championship in Cedric's hometown. And, of course, the match was off the chain. You'd expect to lose because it's hometown shit. And he's black. But somehow, he pulled out the victory. He won. He celebrated. Got out the ring. Hugged his brother and his mom and shit. And it was a nice little ending to everything and shit. So, that was awesome.
I need to remind myself to watch 205 Live because I always forget. Because, you know, I'm just not programmed to do it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I haven't fallen into the routine of doing it, but, you know, I catch all the gifts and everyone talk about it. It's just like, it just definitely sounds like the best of those three shows. It's an hour and you usually get one really good match.
Right.
So, and I... And, you know, good on them keeping the title on Alexander.
Yes, they needed to do that. Yep, so that was the weekly television. I don't have anything else, so I guess we can go with the news.
All right, let me pull up my news real quick. Bam, here we go. All right, so let's start with this one. Some... very not really wrestling-related news, but it has wrestlers in it. The official Star Wars Twitter was actually joking around with Cody the other day, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And they joked that they name-checked him in Rogue One.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though it was just a reference to the character, the fact they called the girl, the guy's daughter, Stardust.
Oh.
But it was nice that whoever... was running the Star Wars Twitter, you know, and it wasn't like he had linked to Star Wars Twitter. It was like Star Wars Twitter actually linked to him after they saw something he wrote.
Right.
So I guess Star Wars Twitter sometimes may vanity search its own name. But that was kind of neat. All right. Also, Sendai Sachiko, sister of Dash Chisako from Sendai Girls. They were part of the. I'd only seen her wrestle Chara, but she's Dash's sister. They were also the only ones, Sendai and Dash, are part of the only sisters versus brothers intergender tag match that's ever happened in professional wrestling as far as I know. Definitely the first. It's them versus the Bravado Brothers and Chikara. Anyway, she came over the weekend and a bunch of the Sendai girl crew were there. There's also a picture of a bunch of the girls dressed up as cheerleaders. I don't know what that was for. But I guess it happened during her weekend, so congratulations to Sendai Sachiko for getting married. She'd retired from wrestling about 4 or 5 years ago, so, yeah. And sticking with Joshi news, and Chikara news, technically, Tokyo Joshi Pro is sending three of their ladies over for King of Trios.
Huh.
This will be these ladies' debut, and... it seems to me that Tokyo Joshi Pro is like the number two women's promotion in Japan. They're part of the DDT universe, so if you see the DDT universe, you get Tokyo Joshi Pro. And I see some people on Twitter who seem to only get DDT universe to watch Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Huh.
Like I don't see Total Divas Entertainment, the gift thing, do too many DDT gifts. They do give Tokyo Joshi Pro shows. So, yeah, they're like the number two promotion there. So, however, I've only seen like one match, and the women I liked were the one kind of a weird goth Victorian thing going. So, that they're not coming over, because I'm like, yeah, I'm down with that, whatever. The ladies, though, I have seen one match, but they were pretty good. In big Joshi-related news, Io Shirai is going to the WWE!
Oh, finally!
Finally was like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to sign you. Because they passed on her because of her neck last year.
Really? Okay.
But, yeah, that was the thing. Some people are really fucking upset about her leaving. So much, some guy went on a rant and kept referring to her as Lo Shirai. So,
wow.
If you see anybody with that tag, Lo Shirai, it's because they're kind of mocking the dude. But, Io Shirai has wanted to be go to WWE for a while. She goes there, she'll be with her, I don't know if they were tag partners or friends or what, but obviously Kairi Sane and Asuka, who, you know, she's buddies with. Io Shirai is, for a lot of Japanese wrestling fans, best women's wrestler in Japan, one of the best wrestlers from Japan. With her gone, I guess being the best really probably falls on Mako Satomura, and Hana Kimura is still the one of the more popular. But yeah, Io Shirai. So I would not be surprised to see her in the Young Classic, though I doubt she will win. I imagine she'd get knocked out in the top four because they're not going to do a... I don't know if they would do Asian back-to-back winners or even finalists because it's WWE, right?
Yeah.
Sounds more like a white name.
And sounds about white.
sounds about white, yes. And sticking with sort of Japanese wrestling, actually, I have it in two pieces because I forgot to write this one down. There's rumors that Neichi Marufuchi might be retiring at age 40. That would be like a year and a half away, so this could be the last run for him. He did lose both the AJPW Triple Crown Championship match he challenged for and the Noah title match against Taguchi. Was Takeshi Segura. So, but yeah. And related Noah news, Noah is partnering up with another Chinese wrestling company called Eastern Hero.
Huh.
So we'll see what happens there.
Trying to corner that Chinese market. Everybody in the world's trying to get that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gotta remind myself to actually click on the link to watch OWE, because, oh, man, those gifts are fucking insane.
Yeah.
I want them to go to CNLL or AAA and see what happens with the Luchadors. Like, holy shit, right? Aerostar in. God, it's crazy. But, yeah, OWE, apparently they air every Friday.
Every Friday? Really? I thought that was
I guess so, or whoever has the license and airing it on Twitch is cutting up matches and shows, and so they're showing portions of every show every Friday like that. But that's what the tweet I liked, so that way I had it said. So yeah, let me see if I can find that tweet. But yeah, it's on that Twitch channel. Future Stars of Wrestling, I think, is the name of that channel. Where are you? Okay, maybe I don't know where it is. Or, oh, for some reason my Twitter likes, I have to reload that shit. Sometimes it just won't come through.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, okay. According to the official Oriental Wrestling Twitter, it says watch, you know, every Friday at 6 p.m. It doesn't tell you which standard time, though, but it is on the Twitch channel. So, yep. So, on Fridays, I get... I don't know... Should I assume 6 p.m. Their time? It can't be right. Nah. Oh, okay. It's on Fridays. Just keep checking. It is on the F... But if you want the link, go to Twitter at FSW Vegas. They are the, they're the Twitch channel for Future Stars of Wrestling. And they're the ones that air... So maybe it's Las Vegas time. Alright, yeah. That's interesting that they would partner with a random Las Vegas promotion.
Huh.
Alright, so, yeah. OVE, Oriental... or OWE, Oriental Wrestle Entertainment... Fridays. Alright, man.
Alright, what else I got? Let me see. And more signing news. There's rumor that Toni Storm may possibly be signed to the WWE on a UK deal.
I don't like this UK deal thing.
Yeah, I'm not fully versed on it. Can you explain that? I don't know.
The exactly. UK deal is basically a part-time deal where they can take other booking and other merchandise and sell their merchandise. However, WWE is slowly limiting where their matches can air on video. So they could do shows that'll probably put them out on DVD or whatever. So, like, if they want to wrestle for, like, Rev Pro, they can, but they can't be streamed on Rev Pro's streaming service. So it might hurt them getting some books. Right now, it's targeting mostly Europe. So they can only stream on ICW and Progress. But as you know, they UK scene also has Fight Club Pro and Rev Pro.
And OTT.
And I guess it's Chaos. Huh?
OTT.
Oh, Over the Top. Oh, and then I guess Riptide too, because I think that's up there as well. Yeah, OTT, is that Scotland or Irish?
I don't know.
Because I think Riptide's the other one. So, yeah. So, while it's cool, like, at first it sounded cool, but now that they're limiting the places where the wrestler can get have their matches streamed, it's kind of silly. I'm worried that this might extend to other promotions. Because Toni Storm is also a title holder in Stardom right now.
Right.
If they say that she can't have her matches streamed on Stardom, Stardom would probably drop her. So, I mean, it's a mixed thing.
So you either you either sign them full or let them go. Do this.
Yeah, or at least let them. If you're not going to pay the whole, like, I don't think they're getting NXT money. But if you're going to sign them for money and not, full time, then it shouldn't really fucking matter who's filming their matches.
Yeah.
If anything, it's a better deal for you. Yeah, I don't know. But I think the worst part of this deal is they have star potential in Pete Dunne, and yet he's not even doing that much NXT.
Yeah.
It's like, that motherfucker should honestly be running to be challenging for the NXT title.
Right now, he's relegated to a feud with Undisputed Era. And he's being linked with Odie Lorcan and Danny Burch. So that's what's going on with him right now. It's mostly a rivalry between him and Roderick Strong. That's what it's been.
Yeah. And this is my biggest problem, because they also have guys like Mark Andrews under contract. But I guess he has other interests, but they have a lot of great guys under these UK deals, but some of them is just not benefiting them. Yeah. And the guys that could be benefiting and should be on television aren't. It's just a weird, annoying deal. And like, it extends past just Britain and starts affecting U.S. promotions and Japanese promotions. These guys are probably going to lose work, at least at the top, at the bigger promotions. Because I don't, like, you know, fucking PWG hasn't bothered bringing in any of these guys, and they like Andrews and Pete Dunne and stuff.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. What other news? Speaking of PWG. Keith Lee, worst PWG match, event, yada, yada, yada. As well as his last Beyond event, because, of course, he is more than likely WWE bound. But I believe he lost every encounter during the weekend, including his match with Mia Yim, which you can watch on Powerbomb TV. Beyond Wrestling's All Day. It was a pretty good match, and I also recommend Grisham and Briggs from that event, and also Tracy Hot Sauce Williams and Tessa Blanchard from Women's Wrestling Revolution. But yeah,
I got some breaking Lucha Libre news. Some big breaking Lucha Libre news.
Before that, let me add some other news that's related to this stuff. Speaking of Tessa Blanchard, Charlotte was asked on Twitter who she would like to face that isn't signed by the WWE, and that was her answer, Tessa Blanchard. So it would be pretty awesome to see daughters of Four Horsemen, the original Four Horsemen, going at it.
Yeah, I saw that. That actually would be nice. Alright, so the breaking Lucha Libre news is Rey Fénix is coming to CMLL.
Huh.
Rey Fénix came up the AAA, obviously, AAA CMLL rivals.
Yeah.
And he had been working for the Crash, but Crash has been having their issues. Yeah. So,
I was wondering if that type of shit would happen with him and the Pentagon.
Well, speaking of Pentagon, they're expecting him to bring Pentagon Jr. or Penta L0M. Because, you know, it's one of the dreams of a lot of luchadors to work Arena Mexico. And the thing is, Arena Mexico is owned by CMLL.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is probably a big deal. It'd be interesting to see. I think they might have. I think the only time CML let outside wrestlers work there is when they were letting run their shows. Mm-hmm. But they had that falling out with Elite for some reason. Fénix and Pentagon maybe making a pairing. Well, Fénix for sure will be showing up to CMLL. He did a teaser for them. It'll be interesting to see him in there. And this could also benefit New Japan, because I think New Japan would be interested in using Fénix and Penta, but they've avoided it because technically they're rival wrestlers.
Yeah.
And we know Penta and Fénix are also doing an All In, which is kind of New Japan adjacent. So this could benefit those guys to get even more outside of so that they don't actually have to go back to AAA. I mean, it's one thing to do the Impact shows and be AAA affiliated there, but they really don't want to deal with the bullshit of AAA treating them like second-tier wrestlers when they are more popular than most stars. That was, you know, because it made no sense when they would have Fénix doing basically nothing. They had Penta, you know, feuding with John Morrison, but John Morrison was the guy they thought was clearly the bigger star between the two. And I kind of get it, but it's fucking Pentagon. His stock was super rising in the States at the time.
Yep.
And he was being used to put other guys over. I'm pretty sure they're not actually signed, obviously, to Impact. They were just sort of, you know, they're under the Lucha Underground contracts anyway, so. Well, even though I don't think New Japan really cares if they work for TNA, as long because even though they themselves are not going to fuck TNA no matter what. But yeah, that was interesting news. If you follow Lucha Libre, you understand the importance of Arena Mexico. Which, you know, if you catch your shows every Friday, the place is packed. Like, 1,200 people a show or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's a lot for a non-WWE show to have that many people on a regular Friday.
Well, speaking of Mexicans, apparently Alberto El Patron is now not only a Mexican citizen, but he is a United States citizen.
So. Yeah, I saw that Twitter account responded. It's like, now he can no-show America.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I did see that shit. That's fucked up. But yeah, that probably will happen. It probably will happen. God bless America.
Holy shit! Wait, is this new? Jimmy Rave did a recent show for CZW.
Really?
Jimmy and he's looking Rave? Like the white Hideki Suzuki.
Huh, really?
Yeah, well, it's some CZW thing that got retweeted on something called CZW Prelude on CZW Studios at the Jimmy Rave Returns. He was a former CZW Iron Man champion. But this picture of him looks makes him look like the white Hideki Suzuki from Big Japan. Jimmy Rave. Guy had a lot of personal problems.
Gonorrhea.
I blame on his mom fucking his life up.
I blame it on gonorrhea.
For those don't follow, that was the name of one of his wrestling moves. Because he was the crown jewel of Ghana, even though he was white.
Yeah, because it was Prince Nana. He was managed by Prince Nana at the time. In the embassy.
I love Prince Nana, though. He was actually Prince. I don't know why WWE didn't went with that shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if I was WWE, I'd have been like, we need to hire this motherfucker. He's a real Ashanti Prince.
Oh,
my God, what were they called again at the time? They weren't called the Crown Jewel, but...
The Embassy, that's what I'm saying.
The Embassy, yeah, the Embassy at... During the Jimmy Ray period, him and whatever, you know, they had Daisy Hayes as the woman enforcer, kind of.
Yeah.
And occasionally Sal Renaro or Ali Shelley. Man, that was money. This is when WWE was just not... This is during the dark era of WWE where you were watching indie wrestling and then you watch WWE like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
hire these
motherfuckers. Right. Yeah. Oh, man. That was fun times.
Yeah.
What else? Demolition, apparently they were interviewed. Of course, they're still not in the Hall of Fame. But they... Of course, that was addressed, and basically they said that they'd be inducted into the Hall of Fame for the right price. They claimed that they'd give some to charities, local people here and there, whatever. But of course, the price that they're all asking is $100,000.
For each?
I don't know. Either way, it's too much fucking money.
Well, I guess, I mean, I understand if they're, they want to get paraded around, they might as well get some money out of it, but damn, that is...
That's a lot of fucking money, dude. And,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to be that guy, but they're not... They aren't.
Yeah, I missed Demolition-era wrestling. I mean, I had seen some stuff. I kind of missed that era of WWE, so they don't... Though I did, I did find it funny when they did that Shikara Kingdom Trios. That was amusing to me.
Yeah, because like in some people's eyes, all they are is like a parody of the Road Warriors.
Yeah, but they do have one of the great tag team finishing moves,
yeah.
The Demolition Decapitation, which has been modified by a ton of wrestlers. That's the backbreaker hold and the elbow drop from, like, the middle buckle.
Yeah.
But you've seen a lot of wrestlers do their versions, like Red Dragon does the tilt-a-whirl backbreaker hold into the diving knee or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've seen the New Day hit the Demolition Day decapitation.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anything, they should be honored for that. I don't know if they invented it, but they popularized it. But yeah, they are just technically knockoffs of the Road Warriors.
Yeah, so there's that. Speaking of old-timers also, apparently Jim Cornette viciously insulted Kota Ibushi after someone posted a video of...
posted a video.
Yeah.
Tweeted him a video.
That's the shit I've been talking about. People will add him because they know he'll respond to shit all the time. So, like, people just love to snitch to him. Constant. So they snitch to him and he flips out and basically calls Kota Ibushi trash and all this other types of names, and of course he insults Kenny Omega just by association, and then Kenny Omega responds saying basically to keep his name out of his mouth.
Yeah, he suggested that the only reason he can talk about Kenny Omega is because Kenny Omega lets him.
Yeah.
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah, fuck Jim Cornette. He's always on some dumb shit. All the time, like, fuck. Like, it's weird because, like, politically I actually align with him in a way, because, like, he's actually pretty liberal politically. But when it comes to, like, wrestling, he's just conservative as fuck when it comes to wrestling. That's the irony of it, right? Oh,
I mean, I don't get into any of this bullshit about we gotta protect wrestling.
Yeah.
You wanna get mad at someone for not protecting wrestling? Get mad at the parents that told all their kids that wrestling was fixed.
Yeah.
They're the real ones selling out wrestling. That's what I knew. I learned about wrestling being fixed early on, and then I was like, alright. Like, I didn't care. I was still wanting to.
Yeah, exactly. I figured that shit out in a year of watching wrestling. I was like, yeah, this shit seems... Especially, I think it was specifically like I would be watching Raw and would notice like the way they were punching was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, come on, yeah.
I was like, I mean, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, like the forearms were a little easier to swallow, where the chops, but the punching was horrendous.
Horrendous.
Much like when I was a teenager, there was the Secrets of Wrestling on Channel 13. They had two of them, like, a couple months apart, showing you how they did move. That's how I learned how to take a pile driver.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, I think I saw some clips on YouTube, like, some time ago.
Yeah, there was also a, what was the... Oh, plus the Bret Hart wrestling with the shadows thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great. You know, there was all those documentaries and books being written. Mad about a bunch of fucking high flyers. Like,
big
wrestling. Like, calm the fuck down.
Yeah. Alright, and more Kenny Omega news. Street Fighter had a video commercial promo thing, whatever, which was a live action trailer. And it was to introduce the character Cody into Street Fighter V Ultra or whatever. I don't know what part they're on now. But yeah, they introduced... So Cody, I think he was like a convict in the game at some point, and now he's like the mayor of like Metro City. But yeah, the live action trailer had Kenny Omega playing Cody. Which I still find funny because he's playing Cody and he's feuding with Cody. Cody. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bullet Club's
fine. He's conflicted. His favorite Street Fighter character to use is named after his enemy. Though, thinking about it recently, and I didn't write this down, I'm starting to think Hangman Page is going to end up being the leader of Bullet Club down the line.
Really?
Because the outgoing president of New Japan Wrestling actually name-checked him, along with Will Ospreay, examples of great gaijin wrestlers that he thinks is real beneficial to... the company, and he recently, and they've been putting him in matches with some of their top guys.
Hmm.
He's wrestled Kota, wrestled Kenny, he's wrestled their upcoming Jay White, and he had that match with Hiroshi Tanahashi on the recent tour, and Tanahashi actually shook hands with him at the end of the match.
Huh.
You know, Tanahashi doesn't really shake hands, and let alone with the Bullet Club, right?
Yeah.
So, it was after the match, and there was, I think, I saw a gif of it, and I think, the whole bit was, like, you know, he offered it and Hangman was confused. So the way I kind of see this going is, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, tomorrow or maybe next year, but I really see them maybe transitioning Hangman into being the top guy. At least, you know, maybe the top guy as an American representative, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him show up, like, and do a G1 climax. It's a guy they could, that Ring of Honor could send over for a month and not have to make a big deal about it. Because, like, Best of Super Juniors is at most 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah.
So they miss maybe 2 weekends of shows. G1 Climax is a little longer and a lot harder. So that's why you wouldn't have Cody Rhodes do it if they need him in a major title picture. Because, like, technically Marty Scurll is part of the title picture right now, but they could sacrifice him for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if I saw Hangman Page move up in the pecking order. Oh, and reminds me, a lot of CML Luchadores are going to be doing some ROH shows coming up. I actually kind of want to see Titan versus Cody. They also have Ultimo Guerrero versus Dalton Castle, could be really good.
Huh.
So I'm glad that fucking ROH remembered that they can use CMLL dudes. But they're bringing over Atlantis, and Atlantis is in no shape to keep wrestling either. Really, he's in bad shape, but it's going to be a 6-man tag match, so hopefully he can kind of hide in it. But it might be just because he's a legend and has a 5-star match or two.
They haven't brought back Hechicero, have they?
No, which is fucking sad.
Huh.
But they spent most of this year not bringing any of the CMLL dudes until, like, next month. And part of that, well, I think Titan's actually going to be doing the show in New York. But the other guys are showing up in Austin, Texas or something. so closer to the border. Yep, alright.
Nice. Alright, okay, so John Cena was at MegaCon for one of those Q&A sessions and whatnot. And,
MegaCon's the one in Florida.
What?
MegaCon's the one in Florida, I believe.
In Florida, okay. Yeah, and he expressed interest in wrestling NXT. He said that would be cool, and then at some point he was asked, like, who he would want to face in NXT, whether it be Adam Cole, Ricochet, or Velveteen Dream, and he said, Velveteen Dream. And his reasoning for Velveteen Dream is that he feels like he is the one, so to speak. And I think he compared it to like Star Wars, like him being like a young Jedi and blah 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 and all this other funny, goofy shit. But yeah, so to have John Cena peg you as the guy that's going to be the future of the fucking company is pretty cool. It's also funny for the fact that The Rock pegged Ricochet as the future.
And I think Shawn Michaels is your big Adam Cole fans,
Adam
too.
Adam Cole guys. So that all makes sense in a way, a little bit. It's funny.
But the biggest problem I have with this is, I mean, I love Velveteen Dream. I like that scene and named him. But it kind of confirms Velveteen Dream as the last black of wrestling.
Yeah.
So if WWE drops the ball, because WWE doesn't fucking care what John Cena thinks is good, it'll pretty much tell you. It'll also tell you that you probably wouldn't see the Ricochet ever make it like that high either.
Yeah.
But I would love to see a triple threat match with those three guys and then have like Michaels, Rock, and Cena in the corner of each dude, or at least in the crowd. That would be beautiful.
That would be beautiful.
Get reaction shots.
Yeah.
And just play it up on commentary as Cena backs Velveteen Dream, The Rock backs Ricochet, Michael backs Adam Cole, and just... Yeah. That's your NXT title match in a year or two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And speaking of the future, you heard about, like... There's this rumor saying that the WWE would be more aggressive in signing indie talent just to avoid MLWs rising higher than they already are.
I find it interesting they're concerned about MLW. I've been concerned with someone else, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason for MLW is because they have a TV deal.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. But, who do they fucking want? I don't know.
So, they're trying to nip it in the bud before it's too late. Oh, man.
But, I understand their tactic, but at the same time, there's already too much WWE wrestling, and now they have the UK guys who are under odd contracts that won't allow them to work certain companies. So, what are they going to do? They're going to sign these guys to a North American deal, if you will? Where they're signed to the company, they can get used, but they can't work MLW or US services. Is that the next stage? Because I wouldn't sign that fucking contract. You know, if I was a wrestler, like, look, if you're going to sign me, fucking sign me to some shit. I am not going to sign a part-time deal and not work for any of these companies that all have streaming services now. Oh, God. I mean, and being aggressive to sign indie talent, what the fuck, like, who? I mean, you already got most of the indie guys who want to go. I mean, most of the popular indie guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They couldn't convince Walter to go, or Zack Sabre Jr.
No, of course not.
Zack was like, I'll just sign with New Japan.
New Japan, yeah, and call it a day.
Yeah, Bray said the same thing. They asked him, when will you have some with WWE? He's like, probably not, because I'd like to go home.
He's like, I want to go home when I want to.
Yeah. He's probably going to be happy. He's going to have, like pretty much the whole month of, between July and August off. Just chill at the house if he wants to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the advantages to, you know, those the Japanese touring schedule. Tiger Mask has almost had half a year off. It's the most I've seen him this year is his tournament. Kept forgetting he was hot, under contract. And he probably gets paid their salary regardless.
Oh, man. And speaking of other companies that got corporate backing or whatever, TV deals and yada yada, I don't think we ever mentioned this until now, but a few weeks ago, it was announced that ROH would open Dojo in Baltimore, in the Baltimore area. Which is...
Don't they have another Dojo somewhere else?
Yeah, I believe they have one in Philly. So I don't know if they're closing shop there and relocating Baltimore, or they have two different dojos now.
I would keep the one in Philly because Philly is a hotbed of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I don't think the people live there who train or who work at the dojo really want to move. So I think Sumi Sakai helps as an assistant at that stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the move makes the move to have a Baltimore dojo makes sense because Parrot Company is in the Baltimore area, so interesting stuff.
Yeah, they can have two different dojos. It's not like they actually use any of their wrestlers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because, like, I know they have, like, a few guys that, like, tag team and stuff like that, and but, they haven't had anyone, like, spring up in the past, like, few years that are, like, homegrown guys.
Yeah, I guess that Isom guy who I saw during a Chikara show has done a couple of the opening matches for them.
Yeah.
But the one that, like I said, has the most attention on her is Gabby Ortiz because she actually works for the mayor's office. But, you know, she's Philadelphia. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Philly.
They could have both. That reminds me, New Japan will be running some more week-long dojos coming up, and they're going to be announcing dates soon.
Huh. Okay. And of course, next month Baltimore will be hosting Best in the World event for Ring of Honor as well.
I was gonna say the one that has Cody and Cody, Marty Scurll, and Dalton Castle.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure. Oh, that reminds me, Nick Aldis told Cody to win the title so they could put the ROH title versus the NWA title.
Yeah, that's what people are thinking, that it may end up being.
Yeah. Imagine Nick Aldis being the ROH champion, too.
Nick friggin' Aldis. Jesus Christ. I remember when he fucking won. I was there when he fucking won the NWA title. That match was fucking garbage, son. It was at CZW. It was Cage of Death. And, yeah, the match was fucking terrible because, like, Tim Storm was, like, hurt, I guess. Like, his ribs were fucked up. And, it was just bad. Like, and the
so it was more. It was more the situation than probably him.
Yeah, and then the funny thing is that the crowd reacted more to Nick Aldis than anything else. Most of anything else on the show, ironically, because they hated him so much.
Well, guy dresses like a star though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the Tetsuya Naito brief interview about Jericho?
No, I didn't.
It was kind of amusing. He's been they kept asking him about Jericho through the whole Best of the Super Juniors, and he's kind of just been like, man, whatever. Have you seen Bushi's latest match? You know, like, not paying attention. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't really care. Jericho really seems interested in me. But the interview, it was, they talked about the Jericho doing a Budokan show the same day Naito decided he wanted to be a wrestler. Well, he didn't remember Jericho from that tournament because he got knocked out in the first round. so he didn't even know me. Like, and he's like, he wants to wrestle me. It just proves that LAJ is international.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like treating Jericho as if he's just like his manager. It was like, He's not even really fucking care. He's just been super apathetic. But yeah, it's been pretty funny. But I saw it after Jericho pretty much responded with a "fuck off, Naito." I was like, let's see what Naito said. I was like, Naito's not even... Naito's just sort of not even caring about you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of overseas wrestling, you heard about the Philippines fire dive incident?
Oh, I saw the video. Oh, my God. Why didn't someone snitch to Jim Cornette about that?
That shit was funny. Okay, so... Dude, okay, so if you haven't heard about the fucking fire dive incident, dude is wrestling, I guess his opponent's on the outside. He gets on top, on the top rope, pours lighter fluid all over his chest and shit, lights himself on fire, and then jumps. The guy... I guess it didn't look like it was planned, because like the guy that he was supposed to jump on, like, land, like, pretty moved out of the way awkwardly and shit, and it was just fucking crazy. Like,
was he looking up? Like, we did not discuss this.
We ain't talking. So yeah, he fucking, yeah, just like, he fucking lit himself on fire. Like, what type of shit is that? You crazy fuck? God damn, dude. Like, seriously, that shit was ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous. Like, I get, like, deathmatch wrestling, but to straight up light yourself on fire? Much. That's mad excessive.
Yeah. We made the decision you can light other stuff on fire and hit people with it to a degree, but no. Oh, there was a backyard match I remember watching. Well, I've seen some fire in backyard wrestling matches. There, the flaming chair one, or yeah, the one where I went to a show and the cops parked at the top of the hill and were watching them, and then for some reason the kids were still doing whatever they were doing. I'm like, okay, they're about to put this one kid to a cardboard plank kind of fake table thing, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, that's not too bad. And I look back and they lit on fucking fire. The cops aren't moving yet, right? And then they took this kid who I knew was a high schooler, but he looked like barely middle school because he was just really short.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put him through the fucking table. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Did you not see the cops there?
Yeah.
The cops didn't even rush down. They were just going on the microphone like, okay, break it up. But that shit was wild. They sit there and watch him put the fucking fire on. They were in the park too, on the other side, so wow. We were in public property.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Those chill ass fucking cops though. But we were far enough away from the hood part of the city where I guess they were like, we'll give these white kids and these Mexicans a chance.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. In more somber news, an innocent kid, it was actually not even, it was a fucking, like, 2-year-old baby girl. She ended up dying, because her mother's boyfriend allegedly performed moves, including a Batista bomb, on the kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so the kid died at the hospital a few days later after suffering the injuries. The kid was suffering from a seizure when EMS arrived at the house in Jefferson County, Missouri. And this actually occurred May 16th. As a result, the guy by the name of Richard Jamache Jr. Has been booked for abuse and neglect of a child, while the baby's mother, Cheyenne Cook, has been charged with endangering the welfare of a child. After that, WWE ended up issuing to Yahoo, saying that we are deeply saddened by this tragic death and hope that the guilty parties are brought to justice. There's no excuse or justification for the brutal and untimely beating of a 2-year-old child by a grown man. This is a clear case of criminal intent and a lack of parental supervision. fucking terrible. Well, but in lighter news for the company, WWE stock prices reached an all-time high as of May 30th, with a new high of $60.51 per share. Yeah. Fucking WWE. Still in the coma. And to round out the news... Actually, no. We still got shit. Of course, there's more WWE shit. All of Colt Cabana and CM Punk versus WWE Doctor. I don't really care about his name. They're, of course, suing based on what he considers... is it libel or slander?
I think it's libel.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, so he basically claims that they lied on meeting on him on Colt's podcast, his infamous podcast. A lot of evidence has been thrown back and forth. I think audio, text messages, a whole bunch of the whole nine yards, basically. But it's interesting to note that apparently before the trial commenced, it was told that it seemed that Colt Cabana and CM Punk weren't even speaking to each other at all while shit was going down, you know? So, like...
Yeah.
Are they even cool anymore?
I don't know. There was those rumors that Punk was mad that Colt Cabana was bad at every show, I think, because someone had invited him or something.
Yeah.
And they had the lawsuit thing, and he thought that would affect it. I mean, I'm not quite sure what's happening. I mean, they both live in Chicago. They can't... I mean, does CM Punk have any friends other than his wife?
I don't know, man.
I know that the Bucks and Cody have been trying to push to get him to do stuff, but who knows? I mean, apparently they did... Cody and Punk did crop, and there's a rumor that he was at the All In press conference. So, who knows what's going on. But, I mean, Colt Cabana hasn't really talked about Punk. But he never really did unless Punk was, you know, kind of just on the show every once in a while. Yeah. But, you know, Colt Cabana is constantly working and Punk is... Training. I don't know. Training?
Yeah.
Is that what we call it, losing now?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, what else is going on? The infamous Phoenix video. Seen it?
No.
The Phoenix Enzo Amore music video.
Oh, yes. Definitely not. Actively no.
Oh man, that was some primo entertaining stuff. Of course, the backstory is Enzo ended up getting fired by the WWE after it was shown that he was the subject of an investigation for rape. So, yeah, so he ended up shooting a video. And instead of it being like a serious matter, it ended up being like a fucking like joke video. It was a joke rap video, where he talked about his consentiness. Yeah, just talked about his consensual penis, referenced the rape allegations all throughout. Of course, he denied it. He makes fun of Smarks, who, believed the alleged victim. He even went as far as to say that his case specifically hurt the Me Too movement because lying and all that bullshit, whatever, yada yada, and states that he's possibly suing the alleged victim and TMZ.
So... half those court cases are gonna get thrown out.
Yeah. But yeah, the song was fucking terrible. Like, I don't know what he... Because people, like, people thought that said, like, he was trying to sound like Tekashi 6ix9ine, which, ironically, is another rapper who is on for some sexual predator shit. But, yeah, it was...
That guy looks like... That guy looks like a henchman for the Joker.
Yeah, he's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking terrible. Beat was okay. Delivery was garbage. Flow was garbage. Lyrics were garbage. Like, everything was fucking bad about that song. Everything. Like, you couldn't...
He needs to get some friends to be honest with him.
Christ. Like, it was so bad, dude. Like, he handed himself a fucking L on Memorial Day. He had the audacity to post on Memorial Day. But yeah, like...
He wanted to remember all the poor souls that died of a heart attack after watching that crappy video.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, and then after the fact, like, he pulled some stunt where he popped up in Times Square to make himself seem larger than life. And did, like, a little interview thing, and he later stated, talking about, like, yeah, basically, he was wrongfully terminated for the fact that they didn't give him a chance, and he claims that he didn't know about the investigation against him until the same day everybody else knew. You know?
Cause it's, like, it's possible that he's not lying, but that's one of those things where WWE would have had to definitely have to get, you know, respond really quickly, because that was the question they want to answer. And he's definitely not the guy you want to hear talking about the company at the same time.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I don't know, man, but, like, there's a ton of Moray loyalists, apparently. Like, a ton of them. Like, they're...
What?
I don't know, dude. See, I think here's my theory, because he represents, like, what they want to be. Some loud mouth, annoying guy that's popular, you know? There, a lot of these folks that cling on to him are borderline trolls, you know? And, of course, these types of dudes, like, they just want to be cool, you know? They just want to be cool and popular and then be that way in just the most upplay possible. And they live vicariously through him. That's it. So, I don't know, man.
I'm not the type of person who wishes ill on people generally.
Yeah.
But I want ill to happen to Enzo and his fans.
Yeah.
Nothing like that, but enough to get them to not be around me on the internet or anything.
Yeah, this shit's fucking terrible. Yeah, fuck. And of course, his rapper name is not Enzo, but it's Real One. Because he's a real one.
I want to debate this Real One concept. I mean, how can you be real dressed like that?
I don't know. Speaking of dressed like that, somebody was joking saying Johnny Fairplay looked like Enzo's uncle on SmackDown in 205. Like, he had front row seats to that shit. You know who Johnny Fairplay is?
Yeah, but it's been a while.
Yeah, the Survivor guy, and then he ended up doing some wrestling, indie wrestling shit for a little bit. Yada, yada, yada.
That had a cool name, though. Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah. I think he was in the news recently talking about, like, I think he was interviewed about, like, Survivor or some shit like that, because somebody had broken the NDA. Some shit, like posting on Instagram or some shit like that. Because, you know, they got those non-disclosure agreements and shit like that. You gotta say to not talk about the show or whatever. Because, you know, everything's, like, pre-taped and whatnot, yada, yada, yada. Well, most parts until, like, the very end or something like that. I don't know. But, Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Survivor, that wasn't for new, but yeah, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Morrison, yada yada yada. He is on the new season of Survivor. Yeah, so be interesting, because I haven't cared about Survivor in like well over a decade. And I think the only time I ever cared about those like reality TV like competitions was I think you Amazing Race. They had fucking what was it? Robbie E and I think it was Robbie E and Brooke was on Amazing Race at some point. Like, I want to say that was like 4 years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago, or some shit like that.
Yeah. I don't. I didn't really care about any of those shows.
Yeah. It's whatever. And of course, going back to the music theme, rap artist Dreddy, who recorded Leo Rush's theme, has teamed up with Leo Rush. Leo is featured on Dreddy's song Money Money, and goes by the moniker L.I. Beat for the song is actually pretty good. Some shit is repetitive, but the lyrics are actually pretty good. Leo's Rush was actually pretty good, actually. So, like, Leo Rush's verse was probably, like, seconds, but that was, like, better than the whole fucking Enzo Amore video. But, yeah, that video, the Money Money music video, currently is a little under 10,000 views in less than a week. So, that's pretty decent numbers for unknown guys, somewhat.
Yeah.
So, and they've gotten pretty positive feedback for the most part. So, Lee have a little side hustle going on while he's stuck in limbo in NXT. Because I don't know when.
I wonder how side jobs work at WWE.
I don't know.
Like, they can't wrestle, and they probably would need permission to do television stuff, but because I keep thinking, what the fuck is Neville is doing for money?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, shit. Like, people always bring that up. Like, no, we don't know what the fuck he's doing at all. That dude's just locked up. And he's not even getting paid through all of this, is he? Or is he?
That's what I hear. I think that the only way he's getting paid is royalties on certain shows he was on.
Yeah.
But one of the big reasons he had a problem was also the fact that the pre-show matches don't count towards DVD video releases, so he wouldn't get royalties for any of those matches he did as Cruiserweight Champion.
Oh, that's fucking terrible.
So, if the royalty is from, before he went to 205 Live. I don't know how much that is, though. And I'm wondering if, you know, if he can go to the UK and then, you know, get away with just doing some other shit. Not, you know, it's like, well, I'm never coming back to the WWE, so fuck them.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's it. That's all I got for news and shit, so. Got anything extra? All
right. No. I don't think I got anything. Season 2 of The Toys That Made Us on Netflix is pretty good.
Speaking of Netflix stuff, I forgot about Zack Ryder's little cameo. He was on that. He's on that Funko Pop documentary. So good for him. To expose his nerdy ass fucking collector's passions and shit on Netflix.
They have a Funko Pop episode or something, or a documentary.
It's a whole documentary on like the creation and rise of Funko Pop, basically. You know that shit.
I don't even know how that happened.
What?
I have 10 pop figures.
I don't have any, but like I can't deny that like Funko Pop in the past like, how many years it just fucking blew up. Like
that's, yeah, like, I got like three in the same day was the first time I got them because I was, I forget, I was in Oceanside. We were at this mall and like one of my family members got me fucking, I got Skeletor, Beetlejuice, and fucking Freddy Krueger in the same day. Most of them were gifts from family. Like, all right, cool. But I also have like two different Wonder Womans, a, what the fuck is that? Evil-Lyn from He-Man, Bulma for Dragon Ball, Catwoman from the Batman 90s cartoon, Sailor Moon, and then Mohawk Storm. And I'm probably going to pick up the Digger because they're doing Gargoyles finally. So that will be the next one I'll probably pick up. But yeah, there's some they have some really nice figures. And then they have, like, they've, you know, have other style stuff. They have the keychains now and shit. And the Dorbs ones are alright, but I'm not, like, collecting them. Like, I'm just picking up the ones that I really like and then, you know, decorating with those ones. Yeah. Alright, yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else on Netflix. I did, catch that Ali Wong special. It was pretty good. That was a week or so ago. And, no. I still need to catch up on...
I finally finished Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, frustrating show, but it still has some good stuff.
Yo, frustrating part was the kids. Them kids are dumb as fuck. I swear to God. Yo, they, for smart motherfuckers, they're dumb as shit. I hate that shit. Like, yeah, I'm a genius, but oh, I do dumb, I make a whole bunch of dumb mistakes all the time. I hate that fucking trope. I hate it.
And the thing about the trope is, I'm not sure if it is real or not, because I can kind of understand the idea of someone being, you know, intelligent, but also completely dumb to the way of the world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I didn't like the kids. I thought the black girl was okay.
I didn't like her either. Just for the one fucking scene that nearly screwed everybody. You know the one.
The one with the oil or gas or something?
The fucking fuel. Jesus Christ.
I don't blame that on her. Yeah, I blame it on whole dude. Doctor.
To let him die. It's for the good.
I don't disagree.
It's for the good of the
doctor
whole.
Kind of, you know.
Just try to keep him comfortable. Try to keep him and his ass comfortable until he dies. And
yeah,
then...
I mean, I thought it was stupid, but it wasn't stupid enough quite not liking her like I don't like Will or the middle daughter.
And
I thought
other...
the father was the best character.
And then one other thing, in that one scene, they couldn't come up with an alternative to try to block, at least, like, stop a whole bunch of this shit from pouring out. Like, they should have had some sort of resources in those rover driver shits or whatever, I forgot what they're called, that could probably block close that shit up, right? But nah, there's maybe they could have a fucking cut into the rock, cut the rock and use the plug.
I mean, season's weird because it really I thought the first season was fine, but it really structured in a way that they just didn't want to follow the path of all the open spaces. That they sort of like the first season in a lot of ways was designed to introduce the character, the concepts and everything before they get to the actual Lost in Space part.
Yeah, right.
And in a way it makes sense because the explanations for the destruction of their worlds and the reason for colonization were, you know, very briefly went over, and you wonder why they would colonize with only one family looking for a planet. So it's like they expanded on some of the problems with the original series and one of the plot holes, but in doing so, they kind of created a frustrating network of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm still willing to give the second season a chance because it's really good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not...
And some great action.
Like, besides the characters being somewhat unlikable for me, I still felt like I enjoyed that show.
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting concepts. The stuff with the Dr. Smith, whatever her name is, I thought was a very interesting character. But I liked it. And then what next? And then I think we're gonna be coming up on Glow and Luke Cage in the next.
Yeah, Glow's near the end of next month, and Luke Cage is like next week.
All right, and I know you don't care about it, but I'll probably check out Cloak and Dagger to see how that works out.
Yeah, I can't watch that shit.
The early review I saw was pretty good, so I'll catch it. If it's better than the Runaways, I'll be happy. Just me, that hurt me in my soul as an actual Runaways fan.
Really?
Yeah. Other than that, I've been trying to do more reading. I finished one of the famous cyberpunk sci-fi, Snow Crash, and as I was reading it, it had some libertarian nonsense in it, so I looked up libertarian science fiction, and oh my god, man, libertarians want us to live in a dystopian sci-fi realm from the shit.
Oh yeah, that's the honest to god, because they want everything, quote unquote, free, basically free reign, like anything goes, because their main focus is on liberty and capitalism.
Yeah, except, well, I'm looking at this, guys, no, realize that if this happened, y'all would probably be poor too. Because almost every version, the poor, like, double. The middle class shrinks really badly, and they become worked. And the rich, most of them, you can't trust them anyway.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating, too, when I was looking at this set of awards, because this one got an award. And this book was actually, I'll talk about the book in a second, but like, some of the people they awarded aren't libertarians. Like, I looked at a list. Philip K. Dick never thought of himself as a libertarian or a conservative.
He's the one who did Electric Sleep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his stuff had politics in it, but he never identified with any sort of politics. Alan Moore was listed on there, but he's more anarchist, but he would lean left wing. The weird one is, and I keep forgetting about this, is one of the great sci-fi writers, Robert A. Heinlein, is technically a libertarian, and I read one of his books. I didn't realize very libertarian, and he's a very good writer. He's the Starship.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Though the movie is nothing like the fucking nothing book
like,
at all.
Yeah,
yeah.
And people, but, and I think some people that said that they read the books and the movie actually enjoyed the movie.
The movie, they're two different kinds of things. The movie, if you're into like just old school us versus giant alien monster movies, it's fine. The book is more of an actual straight up war flip, war thing.
Yeah, like no, but I'm saying conceptually, because like, yeah, yeah, like when was looking at Starship Troopers, the book more like war is necessary, yada yada yada, blah blah blah, and the hardships of it and all that shit like that. But then you look at the movie, and it's more of a satire on those topics.
Yeah. It kind of depends on what I think. The thing I thought was interesting about the book is the idea, and I don't really think of it as a libertarian idea, the idea that you're only really a citizen, like, officially, if you work for the government. Everyone's a civilian. You don't have a certain rights as a civilian in this sci-fi world. And they talk a little bit about that in the movie. That's one of the few things I cover, carry over. The training sequences in the actual book, and the book is really a quick read, too. But he's interesting because he's actually, even though he was libertarian, he would follow under this weird libertarian socialism aspect, because he supported some socialist politicians and even worked for one. So it's, when I was because it sent me down a hole. Jesus, there's so many different types of libertarian. When did they all become fucking insane? Like, I guess in the 90s? What the fuck happened? Because Robert Heinlein stuff does not mean modern libertarianism. But whatever. But yeah, this is dystopian sci-fi. But Snow Crash is interesting. The lead character's name is Hero Protagonist, which is just weird-ass shit name, right? And he's half Japanese, half black. He's like, you meet him as a pizza delivery guy. The great thing is government seceded land. So for a mafia as a pizza delivery dude for one of their businesses. So it opens up with a crazy chase sequence because the company he works for, they did the pizza order late. So he only has like less than half the time to deliver the pizza. So it's a real crazy sci-fi. There's some really cool ideas for it, but it's kind of like, and there's a lot of stuff about viruses and how Sumerian language was like the original type of information virus. Lots of cool stuff, but it's too fucking long. It's like 468 pages. Like, why did I decide to start reading again and start with this book? But Amazon's trying to make a movie out of it. Everybody's been trying to make a series out of it for years. I don't think it's going to happen, but I thought it was cool that the lead was a half Asian, half dude. So I thought that was neat. And the libertarianism part, it doesn't really seem pro-libertarianism. You kind of assume that's just general dystopian fiction. They don't even bring up federal income to like 400 pages in. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now, right?
Yeah.
He mentions that he's hanging out with a sniper. He's like, yeah, if this was, if we still have federal income tax, he probably would state his occupation as sniper. Like, can you do that on an income tax form? But whatever. It was interesting. I just started reading a manga called Gyo by Junji Ito. Have you heard of Junji Ito?
No.
If you like horror manga or horror comic, Junji Ito's...
Oh, that weird shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like some body horror type shit.
Yeah, right? The shit is crazy. I have a few of his books. Tomu and Uzumaki. There's like a live action movie based on Uzumaki. Gyo's weird because, I mean, his plots never really make sense because they're about the images, but like the creatures come out of the water with like pseudo mechanical legs. So I appreciate, like, why isn't this a Hollywood movie with a better story? Because people will go see a movie where the great white shark pops out of the ocean and has legs and starts eating people on land. Come on. And that's just like the first 20 pages. Shit is ridiculous. There's a bonus story I have to read, but yeah. So, yeah, doing a lot more reading. That's one of my goals. And like I said, I got to finish my movies today and tomorrow. So, yep. And that is everything else I can plug for random shit. And obviously catch my blog as I'm uploading reviews of the movies and now books, mygeekdom.wordpress.com.
Oh, yeah. Got to get that.
And I'm also on Twitter and that other shit.
Yeah. Yeah, westside.goth. CM Towns.
Yes. The CM Towns one is Twitter. Westside.goth is Instagram. So, and you can see me on Twitter just upset about politicians and saying fuck Roseanne. Silly, fuck Roseanne.
Yeah, fuck Roseanne. Fuck Trump. Fuck the GOP. Fuck everybody.
Yeah, and I hate most politicians, too, but the Republicans get most of my scorn, them and the conservatives. Horrible, horrible people.
Anyway, so besides that, so check out rantyradio.com. Of course, they got a Twitter, but for us, 9 p.m. Eastern D time, where EDT, whatever, Thursdays, so we're always pre-recorded on that bitch. Check out their other shows, including the flagship show, The Rant. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter. Doomsday. Space 519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWC's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And to end it on a hey, smoke weed every day.